normal person, so having to confront somebody with a gun is, like, pretty serious. So I get down, I pull out my gun, and I reach for the envelope, and I point it in that direction, and I'm like, I saw you come out from where you are. And a very good friend of mine who wanted to bless us in a special way had put an envelope in the door in that little lattice of the window and knocked and had planned to run away back to his car. The envelope fell down and he went back to put it up but was not able to get to his car before I came out the door. I was like, man, yeah, I almost shot you. I was like, don't do this to me. But it was because of the light that was shining that allowed us to see the different aspects of this mysterious situation that was going on. He was moving, like I said, I'm not going to mention names, who that person was, but the light allowed us to see him kind of shifting around the corner and moving in the front porch area and see the envelope that he had placed in the little lattice of the window. It helped us understand the situation. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone out. I would have called the police. I don't think I would have been even comfortable with a flashlight. Alex, you know, you probably could get this situation no problem, but I was scared. And I would not have handled that myself. I would have definitely called for reinforcements. But that illustration is just a funny story to share how that light helped me understand what was going on. And that's what Jesus desired to do, to shed light on what they were confused about, what they didn't have at the forefront of their minds. And his desire was to bring people to a saving knowledge of himself. Now, did the Jews accept Jesus' message? No. They didn't accept Jesus' message. Why? If you remember, Pastor Philip talked about how they had closed their ears and put a blindfold over their eyes, so to speak, so that they could not hear, so that they could not see and understand. We see throughout all the Gospels, they continued to reject Jesus' teaching as he preached. So, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? It is brought to be put on the lampstand. And then he says this, "For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light." Jesus desired to bring this understanding of the gospel of the kingdom of God to the Jews' light, to their mind and to their understanding, but they had already rejected him. This was God's intention from the beginning, to make this known to the Jewish people. And all throughout the Old Testament, everything that God did, from the temple to the priests to the sacrifices to the laws and the ordinances, all of that was a precursor or a shadow or a foreshadowing of Christ. All of this God was using, desiring to bring his people to himself, but they had shut their ears and closed their eyes. In the same way that this lamp would give light to all in its presence, Jesus came to make known the word of God to his people. And we see this heart of Christ in the next verse. Over and over again in these parables, he says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Anyone who's willing, open your ears. Be willing to listen. Hearken to what I have to say. Jesus in no way desired that certain people would reject the message of the kingdom that he was proclaiming, nor was he hardening their hearts so that they would not hear. As we see throughout the biblical text, Jesus calls out multiple times for those that are willing and able to receive the message of the kingdom, who had not closed off their hearts towards God, to receive this message, be saved, and bear much fruit. Excuse me. So that is the first part of this next explanation that Jesus gives regarding the parable of the sower. But he begins in Mark 4:24 by saying, and he was saying to them, Mark continues this idea of Jesus explaining the parable of the sower. So Jesus says to them, take care what you listen to. Now there's a lot of confusion, maybe even some debate about what Jesus means by this, but I think it'll be very clear once we go through this. He says, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Now in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, the parallel passage to this passage, the parable of the sower, Jesus uses this phrase a little differently, and I think it's helpful to understand the context of what he is talking to his disciples in and to us. He says, so take care how you listen. You remember Jesus is talking about fruitfulness here. So Jesus is concerned not just with us simply receiving, but how do we receive? It goes back to that idea of the soils that are described by Jesus and the way that they receive the seed of the Word of God and how it is implanted into their hearts. Each of us, like Jesus' disciples, have the opportunity to be any one of the soil types mentioned in the parable. Are we going to respond in such a way that we will, one, not bear any fruit due to the hardness of our hearts, two, fall away because of persecution or affliction, three, allow our fruitfulness to be choked out by the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, or the desire for other things, or four, are we going to accept the word as good soil and bear much fruit? How will you and I respond to the message of the kingdom of God and the word that Christ gives to us? Will we bear much fruit? I have to ask this question of myself, and I encourage you to ask it of yourself. Am I bearing much fruit for the kingdom of God in my life? This is what Jesus is most concerned about. He goes on to say in Matthew 4:24, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. So this is not only does he say, take care how you listen, but by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. So if your measure is great, then that great measure is going to be given to you. If your measure is small, then that measure of insignificant quantity, I don't want to say smallness, so insignificant quantity is going to be given to you. And I'm going to discuss this a little bit in greater detail in just a moment, but I want to look at another translation which I think helps shed some light on another aspect regarding understanding. If we look at the New Living Translation of Mark 4:24, it says, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. Now, I have to add a caveat here, because the New Living Translation is based on a paraphrase, which is the Living Bible, and the Living Bible was a paraphrase of the original text in the Greek. And the New Living Translation tends to do more idea-for-idea translation methods rather than word-for-word translation methods. So I'm not saying don't read the New Living Translation, just there's some things that we need to be careful about in understanding or using the New Living Translation. But seeing Jesus' context here, and that the Jews lacked understanding because they had rejected him, but Christ's disciples had the understanding they needed because they had accepted Christ and the word that he was given, I believe that this is a helpful explanation or a helpful translation of that text. And I'll read it again. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. For those who listen intently with their ears willing to hear and hungering for the truth of the gospel and the word of God, they will be blessed with more understanding. What is my standard of measure, as the Bible says here? Or how closely am I listening? Am I listening at all to what Jesus is saying? And part of this stems out of the relationship that you and that I have with Christ. It is that relationship, and when we press into that relationship with Christ, we receive the blessing of understanding who He is, His Word, more about His nature. And that's the true source of understanding, is in Christ Himself. I do want to talk about that more in just a minute, but we have to realize that that is the context of what Jesus is saying here. Now, He mentions, and more will be given to you besides. So not only take care how you listen, but your standard of measure will be measured to you. So, you know, how you dish it out is how you're going to receive it. But more will be given to you besides if you are faithful in pursuing it. In Matthew 5:6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." There's a blessing that Jesus says exists for those who are hungering and thirsting for the righteousness that is only found in Christ. There is a blessing there. In Matthew 13:14-16, it says, this is a parallel passage to Mark chapter 4 here, and he's talking about the hardness of the children of Israel's heart. He says, "In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear." When we respond to the message that God gives in His Word, there is a blessing that is received from receiving that Word with joy, not only in the fruit that we produce, but also in the understanding that we receive of God's Word. When we press into the Lord, we will be blessed and rewarded because of our willingness to receive what the Lord desires to give to us. Now, transitioning to the next verse, verse 25, he says, "For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." In the context of this passage, Jesus says in each of the repeated accounts in Matthew 13:13, Luke 8:10, and Mark 4:12 about the parables that the children of Israel that were not Jesus' disciples would not understand because of the hardness of their hearts and the shutting of their ears. It was, however, given to the disciples to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God because of their faith in Him and their open ears that were willing to listen. And those are referenced in Matthew 13:12. And Luke 8:10. Now, this next phrase that Jesus mentions is somewhat confusing. It can be to me, and it has been to many people. But he says, "And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And we think, okay, so how does somebody that doesn't have something get it taken away if they don't have anything? Well, in the context, Jesus is talking about the understanding that the Jewish leaders thought they had of Scripture. They believed they understood and knew how Christ would be coming, how the Messiah would be coming, how he would establish his earthly kingdom, and all of these different knowledge of the law and the interpretation of the law and how it applied to the Jewish life every single day. They were convinced, the Pharisees were convinced that they were the ones with superior knowledge and understanding about the scriptures and the word of God. They had not only misled themselves, but their nation because of their hardness of heart that started long before Christ arrived. To these people, the kingdom of God made no sense. They were utterly confused and discarded it as nonsense. Thus, what understanding they thought they had about God, the scriptures, and the coming Messiah, they had it taken away from them. Sadly, many of the Jewish people still remain in this state today because of the hardness of their heart. I also want to take a look at this passage, Mark 4:25, from two different angles, because I think we can understand this passage in both of these contexts, or both of these ways. First of all, that understanding comes from revelation by the Holy Spirit, and that Christ is also referencing in this our opportunity to sow the seed in the same way that Jesus was sowing it. So those are the two things that I want to bring to light in these passages here, or in this passage here. Now, he says, "For to whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." So keep this in mind. We're talking about the concept of understanding Scripture. We're talking about understanding the Word of God. Many people seek for understanding from commentators and philosophers and theologians and understanding things from other men's writings and other men's studies. And that's very helpful, and we need to be doing that and understanding that. But we have to rely upon God himself to give us the understanding of his scripture that we need. And that's what the Jews lacked. They lacked that understanding that came from the Holy Spirit. So I want to make the case for that and then talk about how from our fruitfulness we are required to be fruitful in sowing the seed in others' lives. So we'll start with this understanding that that revelation comes by the Holy Spirit. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 18 through 25, and then we're going to go to the next passage, not because I don't like the other verses that we're going to skip over, but because it is a lengthy passage. And so I want to point out some of these very specifically. We're going to go to the next chapter, verses 6 through 16. So I'm going to read these, and then we'll continue. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Sorry, I got something in my throat. "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside.' Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Now continue with me over in chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Excuse me.
Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Thank you so much, Dan.
I think I was singing too loudly in the back.
But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In this passage, Paul is confronting the believers about the presentation of the gospel that Paul gave to them, saying that he presented it without pretense or ulterior motive, but in the power of God. Now, we didn't read those verses, but if you read before and between and after, he talks about that, and that's the context of that passage. But in that context, Paul mentions three fundamental things about the gospel. First, that it is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. That's in chapter 1, verse 23. Secondly, that if the Jewish leaders had understood the gospel, they would not have crucified Christ. And thirdly, that understanding is given by the Spirit of God. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Now, just kind of a note here, I'm not sure what your translation says or how it interprets these verses, but 14 and 15, I believe, are key in understanding this. And if you go back and you want to go to blueletterbible.com, you want to look up the original Greek and then kind of understand these words. When he talks about, he says in verse 14 of chapter 2, he cannot understand, talking about the natural man, he cannot understand them, the things of God, because they are spiritually appraised. Now, what does it mean to be spiritually appraised? If you go back and look at the Greek words in their original context, you could translate that as being something along the lines of they are owned by or possessed by the Spirit of God, is how you would be able to understand that. But he says, so the Spirit of God is the one that has this knowledge and understanding, because earlier it talks about, even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. And so in verse 15 he says, but he who is spiritual or empowered by the Holy Spirit appraises or understands or evaluates all things, but he himself is either evaluated or understood by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But but we have the mind of Christ. Why am I making this point? Because in light of what Jesus says in Mark, it is only when we open our ears and are willing to listen to what God is saying to us through his word that we surrender ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Then his Holy Spirit is able to give us the understanding we need to apply his word to our lives and bear fruit. The disciples were at that point of surrender to the Lord because of their belief in him as the true Messiah, and therefore they were able to understand. We see this in John chapter 6, verses 67 and 69. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Now, keep in mind, in the context of this passage, Jesus had said some very difficult things. And his disciples said, "We can't handle this. This is in conflict with what we know and what we understand." And so they left him. But Jesus says to the 12 disciples, "Do you also want to go away?" But listen to Peter's response. But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." They believed and sought Christ with their whole heart, and they were able to experience an even deeper relationship with the Lord, and thus a deeper understanding of his word because of their faith and personal relationship with him. As we receive the word of God, believe the word of God, and continue to press into what God has revealed to us through his word, more understanding and a greater desire for him will be given to us. We can try to press into an understanding of the word of God in our own strength and seek many wise counselors in an effort to understand it, but it will be in vain. And as I mentioned earlier, don't get me wrong, these great men that have studied the Bible, all of these men that have poured out their lives to bring us understanding of Scripture, seeking to know and declare the Word of God in truth and understand the Bible with great interest, these need to be sought. They need to be read and be applied to our lives. However, if we neglect to seek God first and an understanding of Him through His Word and by the power of the Spirit first and foremost, then we have failed. I'm going to turn back to Mark here. So Jesus says, "For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away." So that first aspect of the understanding of the Scriptures coming from the revelation of Christ and his Holy Spirit. Then, I believe Jesus is also referencing something else that's very important for us to understand, and that is focusing on our turn to sow the seed. With the measure that you measure, for to whoever has, to him more shall be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Jesus describes this in great detail in the parable of the talents. I'm sure you remember the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. We won't read all of it here, but at the end of the passage, Jesus says this, very key, very pivotal message. And the master is talking to the foolish servant who took what he had and put it in the ground. So Matthew chapter 25, verses 26 through 30 is what we're going to read. He says, "But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money into the bank, and upon my arrival I would have received the money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Jesus here is bringing us into this equation, bringing his disciples into this equation, and saying, this seed has been spread, this light has been shown, it is your turn. And with your standard of measurement, it will be measured to you. And whoever has, more will be given to him. But whoever does not have, whatever he has, and Luke actually says, whatever he thinks he has, will be taken away. As we conclude, I would encourage you, and I encourage myself in this, to look inwardly at our own hearts and ask these questions. What type of soil is my heart when it comes to receiving the Word of God? Am I bearing fruit? Am I bearing fruit for the kingdom? And secondly, how am I investing what God has given to me? He has entrusted to us a very true and precious gift in His Word. He has revealed things to you in your own personal life. He has taught you in specific ways and helped you deal with sin, personal issues, helping out family members, helping out friends, relatives, whoever may be. God has impacted your life. God has borne fruit in your life. What are you doing to take that fruit and plant it again in the heart and the life of another person so that they may bear fruit? The disciples didn't and weren't content with just receiving the blessing from Christ and then being content with that. We see them traveling throughout all of Europe, and especially Paul, but we see Paul and others faithfully proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews as well as to the Gentiles. And the fruit that they bore out of their lives was planted into others and bore fruit. Paul talks about this, and he expresses to the other believers, "I hope that what we've done has not been in vain, but that it will bear much fruit." Paul, in the same way that Christ was desiring to see fruit out of the disciples that he had. And so Christ, in the same way, from the investment that he has made in our lives, through his word, desires for us to bear fruit so that others may grow in their relationship with Christ as well. Let us pray together as we close here. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the ability that we have to receive the word of God with gladness, to receive it with joy, with thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open, our ears would be here to listen, that, Lord, our eyes would not have a blindfold over them that we may not see, but, Lord, that we would bear much fruit. because of our belief and because of the understanding that the Holy Spirit gives to those that believe in Him. And Lord, that we would take that fruit, the fruit of Your Word, and invest that same Word into the lives of other believers, into the lives of those that do not know God, that they may come to know Jesus Christ, either for the first time or in a deeper, more intimate way. Father, may our hearts reflect Your heart. May our lives reflect Your lives. And may the name of Jesus Christ be lifted up in praise and glorified. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.